Yes, my
bro. All right, bro. You good yet?
Yeah, yeah, all good. How are you?
Tired.
Why are you tired?
I don't know if you can tell. I've had a little amount of sleep last night.
Oh, okay. What happened?
I come up with the crazy idea of deciding to do so many projects at once since lockdown. And I think I set myself a target which was literally too high for myself. And the bar level for that was like literally, I can't even do this now. Like, what have I done? Too many projects at once. So I'd rather produce quantity over quality, you see.
Yeah.
So now I've had to slow things down and work one at a time. But obviously, in the due course, one of them things was longer than I expected because it's like, I'd start one thing and I'd be like, oh, this now, like, you know, it's never ending.
So I just lost you a bit, bro. Sorry. What did you just say before?
About working on so many different projects.
Yeah, yeah.
And also quality over quantity sort of thing. And a lot of time consuming. So I've just been sort of like staying awake late at night, cracking on with those.
But how you been keeping busy during quarantine?
Same as everyone else, man. It's literally like just trying to stay as home as much as I can. Not trying to crowd follow where everyone's going to all these beaches, public parks, ignoring the rules because many of the DJs will say this themselves.
Mm.
As soon as I'm clubs are back open, everyone can go out freely and willingly to do what they want. So I don't know why they won't just stay at home and, you know, protect their family, other people's family, and, you know, when the time comes, then just go out and enjoy yourself rather than contradict it now. Because the more we don't listen now, in the longer run of things, it's going to end up worse. We're going to have a second wave of it and it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be worse than like the first, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. I think the second wave might come.
Well, you can't really believe social media as such. Obviously, like, you see so many different things and then you're like, well, is that true? Is it not? Is it a reliable source? But what I've seen, if the sources are realistic, beaches have been packed, parks have been packed, you know. I've even seen some local pubs, like, not obviously in my area in Nottingham, but not far in the Midlands, trying to open up on the back. And like, yeah, you come to us and we'll do, you know, try to own business that way. And they've been caught out. And they've lost the leases for it and everything. So they've learned in the long run, it's not worth it.
Yeah, yeah. So going to your career, how did DJing start?
Well, this was an odd one. I reckon I've always had a thing there for music, but I've never knew. It was like when I was about 16, 17, I was always in like pubs and stuff as you do, like, you know. And I was like, some of the music was in there. It wasn't much to my taste, but I was like, you know, you just vibe the way to the beat. Like, you just know, you're like going away with it. And then next thing you know, I'm like on a set of decks. I think I spent about 150 quid on a Newmark Track Quad, it was at the time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was quite a small unit. And I was loving life. Like, you know, I thought, give it a couple of years, I'm the next David Guetta. But it doesn't quite work like that, does it?
Of course not.
if only, we'd all be rich, eh?
Yeah, if only, if it only took 1 year, 2 years.
Yeah, so then it came around to sort of like progressing more and more, learning ins and outs, you know. One brief thing I was actually planning on to talk about with you, like, is help in the DJ industry. I've struggled many times, not necessarily DJs, but helping others doesn't seem so important as it used to be.
Yeah.
So I've joined different trend now with sort of like saying, if you need help, you know, just drop me a DM, anything like mashup related, DJ related, or preparing your sets, music, you know, if I've got the time there for you, I will gladly help, you know.
Help, and I know, you know what, help is like it's a massive thing now. I mean, during this period, I think a lot of DJs will help you, but I think when it comes back into the clubbing scene and everything, I don't think they will as much as they would have during this period.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, obviously, it's not the case of, oh, yeah, we should help them or they should help us. You know, it's more when they've got the time. I know certain DJs have done it. Like, obviously, I know you had Alfie on last week, was it?
2 weeks ago, yeah.
And he was speaking about, obviously, Nathan getting him involved. And, you know, and he really appreciated that. And now, like, look, he's doing bits. He's going there. It was his first release tune. I'm like, hang on a minute ago you was only like DJing abroad, like now you're releasing your true report. I'm like, whoa, hang on a minute, that came out of nowhere. So yeah, you know, it's just behind the scenes work. It's all content, pushing content. I believe it or not, I never used to believe that. I just thought, oh yeah, if you make good mixes, you'll get heard. But I'm like, no. I think
most of us up and coming DJs thought that, and then realize it's not all about the mixing.
No, I've had this chat with so many resident DJs at my local club where I perform at in Leicester. We've had the chat where we reckon 90% of the DJing itself is marketing, and then the 10% actually is mixing. I don't know if many of the DJs agree, but most of them will say it, promotion and consistency is a high key. That is the way forward. If you get bookings now, one of the main things the club's going to ask you is like, oh, what's your following?
Definitely.
If you go, oh yeah, I've got like 100 followers, they're going to like, we'll check the guy 10,000 followers first. You know, but there is people out there, genuine people, what will go, oh, right, well, your mix is good. Like, you know, it's the same thing with resident DJs and events DJs. This was a big thing for me last year. I find that it's easy to play an event set because you're playing that one off. Like, if you're touring the UK as a DJ, you can play the same set over and over again at different venues. No one's going to remember that same set. But if you're in a club as a resident DJ, you've got to be able to switch it up week in, week out with the same sort of crowd what's coming to that club from that area.
Yeah.
And it does prove hard at times. I've had problems before where you'll try one night and try the set you tried 6 weeks ago and it just doesn't go. So you constantly got to be like moving and flow with it. Apart from that, it is key. Sort of keep getting all brand new music, keep trying different things out, you know, and just keep pushing, really.
So from getting your first DJ gig in a club, how was that? And was it easy for you or was it hard?
Believe it or not, I first started messaging clubs and stuff saying, oh, like, is any slots available, like, for me to come try? You know, I think I'm ready to hit the clubs now. Yeah. Being brutally honest, most of them read the message and was just like, didn't reply. So I was like, you know, I was polite, thank you for your time, whatnot. It's the best thing to do for an up-and-coming DJ as well. Yeah. Just be polite, and then they'll respect you more. Because this is how I actually landed my one in Leicester, you see. I sent them some mixtapes over. I said, like, if you've got time, will you listen? Like, you know, 5 years down the line, well, almost 5 years, I'm still playing there to this day. Well, obviously, not now, but I'm still, you know, still going. As soon as it's all over, I'm going back strong.
Yeah. Do you ever get scared of losing your residency? Or do you think you're every week you're kind of upping it and they're going to keep wanting you back?
Hopefully they keep wanting me back, right? I don't want to burn bridges here because I don't know, like, you know, who's watching. There's been other clubs what have been putting offers in for me, you see. And obviously I've like sort of hummed and hawed away from it. I'd rather leave on good terms rather than bad terms. So at the minute, I'm quite comfortable where I am.
Okay, the flip side of that is that unless you have a contract with a club, you can do what you want, right?
Yeah, see, that was my issue. I'm actually contracted, you see.
Oh, okay.
That's a whole different ballgame of obviously the side of DJing.
Let's get into that more, because that's a good topic as well. Like, do you think it's good to be contracted with a club or not?
See, that is a tough one. It has its pros and it has its cons, I'd say. With the pros, you know you're going to be safe. Guaranteed. Unless if you do something absolutely bizarre to lose your position there, you are safe. But the downside of things is it's going to be a lot harder to branch out. And when I say this, it's like, if you're there for, like, I've been there 5 years now, you're going to get offers thrown at you. And some of them offers are going to be, like, unrealistic. And you're like, what? It sounds too good to be true. And if you take that offer, all it takes is that other club to have you there for a month and go, right, this isn't working. Then you've lost.
You can't go back.
Exactly. And then that's when you start the ball game of, oh, well, when are we going to play now? You know? But luckily for me, obviously every DJ has the highs and lows. I don't think I can ask a single DJ what hasn't had a bad point in the career. Like I do this full time, and I've done this full time for 5 years now. Like, you know, people go to me, "Oh, what job do you do?" And I'm like, "I'm a full time DJ." "Is that a job?" "Well, yeah."
Yeah, no one really sees it as a job.
I just give up arguing with people. It's like, it is a job. It's a skilled job. Most jobs nowadays, it doesn't require a lot of skill. Some jobs are hard out there, like hands down. There is jobs a lot harder than what we do. A ton times harder. Like, look at the NHS, for example, at the minute. Look how much pressure they've got. We don't receive that pressure. Like, when we go behind a booth, we've got, 1,000, 2,000 people in front of you just jumping around because, like, you're playing absolute bangers. Right? You get paid to do something you love. Like, you know, I personally don't think I'd ever want to change job. Like, you know, I'm trying to cement my position where I am at the minute. With that said, I posted a mashup video 2 days ago. So while lockdown's on, I'm just posting content. I'm currently working on another mix, thinking of different ideas, trying to be unique from another DJ, you see, because we're all doing the same thing, but it's how we do it what makes it different. Yeah.
What kind of makes your DJ set unique then compared to other DJs?
I guess every DJ has their own really sort of style of things. Like me, I'm multi-genre, but where I play, you have set nights for set music because there's three floors in the club, you see. So we'll have me and then like two other DJs on. And then one floor will be like R&B, one will be like dance, and you know.
Yeah.
So it all depends what night, really. Like, if it's a Saturday night where I do R&B on, like, sort of the main floor, I'll get creative with acapellas. Like, I like to throw down a lot of 90s old school stuff. You know, like, the students wouldn't know. Like, you've got to get them into that, whereas the songs are going to die out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
To us, they will never die out because the absolute bangers, like Ashanti, Ja Rule, you know, stuff like that, the absolute bangers. It's my go-to. But for a student, they're like, "I've never heard this. Like, what's this?" So you've got force feeding it. You know this song, future reference, so this cannot die out. It's like,
okay. So with that as well, do you think the student nights and uni nights and stuff like that are keeping the club going? Because, and do you think that clubs are kind of dying out, or do you think that's only certain areas?
I think it's only certain areas. Like, obviously, I know you've asked quite a few DJs where's the best sort of hotspot in the UK for clubs and stuff. So it all goes on area, but at the same time, it goes on the club, on its reputation. If the club has a bad reputation, students ain't going to want to go to. If they've got a uni near it, then they've got drink deals, right, you know, they'll go to there. It all goes on music as well. If you go to a club and you like, say you go in for the first hour and you listen to the DJ and it's like, yeah, he's all right, you're going to want to go back on it. But then if you go to a club and you're like, ooh, then you ain't going to go back again. It's all down to how people pursue things when they go enter the venue. As soon as they're in that club, they're going to know if they're going to want to come back or not.
So a lot of people don't kind of realise how hard it is to get these gigs. So how hard was it for you to get the residency? What's the word I'm looking for? What kind of tips would you give to up-and-coming DJs?
I wouldn't sort of bounce away from it if a club says no to you. If they go, "Oh, no, sorry," don't just go, "Oh, well, no one's going to ask me that." Because I was pushing, like, sort of 30 clubs a day. It got that bad. I was reaching out, like, up and down the country. That was just to get my foot in the door into the club scene. Then when I eventually did, it's like, yeah, you're up against 300 DJs. I'm going to narrow it down to three. I'm like, huh? But that's when you feel the pressure. You do everything you can. If you really want it, you prove you want it. I managed to get down to the top three. And then in the top three, I think I had like 2 weeks to come up with something. So I put together like a routine. And then obviously sort of one of the managers came around to actually where I live because he didn't live too far from me. And I showed him this routine live and his jaw just dropped. And I'm like, oh, is this good? Is this bad? You know, like, never assume the worst. Like, And then the next day I'd phone call, are you able to come in for a trial night? I'm like, yeah, like, you know. So I went down to the club for a trial. I think the worst mistake was I played it safe. And what that means for people, obviously, if they don't know, if you got like up-and-coming DJs in here, was like playing all your commercial, like Nicki Minaj, Katy Perry, One Direction, really, really girly pop songs. And he was like, I wanted you to experiment with your own style. I was like, oh, okay, like, you know. So he brought me back in another night, and I went back my own style, and the club actually ended up busier than what it was with the commercial style. So I'd only ever play safe if the club is quiet or, like, you know, it's not doing too well on a night. With that said, I think after this blows over, students are going to be about pulled back a bit of going out, I reckon. So it will be a safe play.
How do you deal with kind of like the multi-genre-ness of the club, like, environment? Because obviously a lot of people from different cultures, backgrounds, I don't know, music tastes as well, all coming under one roof. Like, how do you deal with that?
See, we had a lot of Spanish girls in at one point. I think it was last year at some point. And at the time, I was constantly asking for Spanish music. And obviously, at this point, I barely knew any Spanish music. It's you know, I'd love to happy play some if I knew some, you know. But what song was it I played? Oh, it was one by Justin Bieber and...
Despacito?
Despacito, that was the one. I played that, right?
I hate that, that right. song so much. I hate it so much.
I feel you, man. I feel you. I'll get to that one in a minute.
That's when it dropped. Was played everywhere, and I hated it.
I just thought it's funny when you're in the club and you're seeing people trying to sort of like sing along to it, like, yeah. Nice. Have you had a drink yet, mate? But no, with that song, I played it, and obviously I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you. I was like, you know, it went a long way. It does. So if I've got something, like, you know, I will cater to each style. It's just the arrogant people where they're very demanding. I could be mixing, say, what, a really, really like heavy drum and bass track. Oh, can you play something a bit more girly? Like, yeah, sure. Well, now, not right now. I'm like playing the heaviest of drum and bass. I can't exactly drop this right now. You know, my dance floor's like jumping from left to right, and you want me to just like stop it dead just for one song? I can't do that.
Yeah. I think there's like an etiquette of coming up to a DJ and asking for the track.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of people just show the phone and just be, like, handing it in your face and stuff like that.
Yeah. Where I'm situated on obviously the DJ booth, it's, like, it's a bit high. It's a bit raised with a bit of a perspex glass. I've had many people climb up the front of it, like, Bob Bird open, like, you all right, mate, can you play this? Like, well, can you get down off the booth first?
And so they're trying to climb in there.
do you know what I mean? Like, and then, obviously, we've got a stage bit behind us.
Yeah.
Obviously, they can't get in the... It's up, we're all, like, cordoned off in the booth. And there's, like, a little platform where the lights go. They climb up there, and I'm just like, oh, what is going on tonight? You know?
Have you had any problems with, like, the promoter or manager telling you to tone it down or to keep it a bit...
No, but believe it or not, my managers are absolutely banging. And I'm not just saying that because they might see this. No, they're absolutely brilliant. We've had different debates about things, but nothing too minority. Like, you know, he knows what I'm going to bring to the club when I'm there. He knows I'm willing to try new things, and, you know, not even just for the sake of it, because I want to try new things. Because eventually, like, in years to come, I do want to start hitting them higher levels, because I've already had, like, the festival offers and the...
Sorry, bro. Sorry, I just got a call.
You're all right.
I didn't catch the last bit.
I was just saying, obviously, like, being a resident DJ now for a while, I've had offers for festivals and to DJ abroad. Within the next few years, I'm ready to take that lunge and sort of, like, you know, I'm going to go for it. But if I go for it now...
Going with that, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
Hopefully, playing festivals. Not as a big act, obviously, because like, I don't want people to think, yeah, is it that easy, really? Because it's not. You know, you've got to put in the work. Like, you've got to push every single day. I got to a point where I didn't push, and I noticed a big impact it had. You lose following, nobody pays interest, because it came to a point where I was saying I was going to drop a mix this date, and because I had problems or I was out, I never dropped it. So people are like, well, he said he's going to drop his mix at 4 before, so why is it? It's 4 now, where is it, you know? They don't bother looking anymore. So that took a while to gain, like, you know, the consistency back. So literally, do not put any content out there until you're ready to publish it. It's like
how much does social media mean in the DJ kind of industry?
It is a big push. It is the most powerful tool to use in this industry. Like, apart from with Facebook live streams, because they kick you off every 5 minutes. It's just an absolute nightmare. There's so many different rumors of saying, oh yeah, you can do this, you can do that, and you won't get kicked off. It's all algorithms. They're all computer based. They will kick you off. I've read
the 45-second mixes. That's it.
If you ain't mixing 45 seconds, don't go live.
Literally, I did that yesterday. So I've been cut off like 3-4 times now during an hour, just in an hour. So yesterday I did like 30-second mix. I was fine, like no problems.
Yeah, I think it's literally your biggest club anthems. Like, you sort of got to try and stay away from.
What I heard is if you don't drop the first verse of it, or the first little bit, then, or like talk over the first bit, then the Instagram won't pick it up.
Oh yeah, definitely. If you've got a microphone involved, like you say, talk over more, then you know it won't kick you as much. Like, you know, you'll probably get a warning saying, "Oh, you're going to get kicked," like I did like 2 weeks ago, but you won't get kicked for that.
You know what, the streamings are big though, but do you think a lot of DJs are kind of just copying other DJs in that, or do you think it's hard because obviously there's so many?
Personally, I think it's a good variety. Like, you know, it's like shopping online. You see a pair of trainers, like, yeah, I don't want to get them from there. Like, I'll get them from there because it's a better price. So, like, you're literally going through Facebook and saying, right, don't really like this DJ, but there's another one down, so well, I like this one. So for all these people who like sort of live at the bottom end of the country, who like, you know, who's never seen the DJs play live at the top of the country, it gives them the opportunity to go on Facebook and like actually watch them play. It's like, well, it's a massive move.
What goals are there in place for you to DJ in the country? Like, what other cities do you want to tour?
I've always wanted to play in London. Specifically, Ministry of Sound.
It's very hard, very hard.
Yeah.
Like, that's just even me, like, all of us London DJs can say the same thing. It's like, it's one of the hardest scenes to break into. Because you've got West End, which is one bubble, and then you've got the rest of London, and London's massive. So, like, I'm in South London, so South London is a totally different scene to North London, East London, West London.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. This is why I
said, like, it's mad. You have to have good connections if you're coming from another city, especially.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, what other cities for you?
So London would be my top. Birmingham would be second, because I've heard good things about Birmingham. Like, very good things about Birmingham. I don't know why, but Leeds would be my third. I reckon I'd lay out an R&B set in London if I had my choice. Obviously, like I said, I'm multi-genre, but if I had specific genres to play at locations, I'd lay out an R&B set in London. Maybe something dance bass in Leeds. Probably an R&B in Birmingham as well. Definitely.
So I'm gonna ask you this. So how have you kind of utilized your social media to get your following up and keep yourself active? Not just during this period, just in general as well.
Like I say, I always post like previews of mixes, what I'm going to drop, artwork of mixes that I'm going to drop, projects I'm working on, previews of my mashups. So obviously I've just got into mashups and stuff like that within the past sort of like since January. And a secret, if anyone's watching who knows me, I've just started remixing my first ever track. I'm not going to show any previews away yet, because if I show previews, people is going to get bored of it to keep hearing it. So I'm just going to keep that on the low. And then like, so I was just, here you go. Like, well, where did that come from? You know?
So if you look back at your career, is there anything you'd change?
I'd probably start pushing more content younger. Definitely. Yeah. It was quite late when I started saying, right, I'm going to take it serious now. You know? Because at first, like I said to you at the start, oh yeah, not in years time, 2 years time, I want to be like Calvin Harris or David Guetta, you know, it ain't happening.
What's your take on a warm up DJ not playing their parts, or any DJ not playing their part in a set?
You've got to be in it to win it, 110%. If you're wanting it, like not as a warm up DJ, this is for like any DJ in general. If you're turned up to a set and you're looking around and bored, you know, you ain't the person for the job. You know, like they could get someone in there who's like more hungry for it.
Yeah.
And show more than what, like, you know, just like sort of bobbing your head away, just like looking like down, you know. I'm not saying go in there jumping around with like all the people in the club, like, you know, I'm not saying that, but more to the fact is like just enjoy it rather than just like looking like you don't enjoy it. And as for a warm DJ, just literally do not waste the biggest bangers of the night.
Mm.
Like, you know, if you're wasting the biggest bangers, like, there's no point in even warming up to the DJ, because you ain't going to get a warm-up slot again.
I don't even think you'd be warming up the crowd anyway, because people entering the club, like, let's say 10:30, are already listening to, like, the newest Drakes out there, and they're like, oh, okay, we're starting like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then come 12 o'clock, they've already listened to all the songs they wanted to listen to.
That is a tough one. But no, you're completely right. It's like, with a main DJ, people go to see that headline act. Like, say, for example, you've got... So I've played on stage with Sigala and Tom Zanetti before as well. And when I did their warm-up set, this was quite a while back, at Chelmsford University, I think it was, an SU party. People go in there to see them. As much as I was getting hyped to say, yeah, I'm like, you know, warming up for these, like, you know, they wasn't there to see me, they was there to see them. But at the same time, it's good to sort of like, just play a nice chilled set, you know, have your name in lights or whatever, or get your name like branded or posts or whatever. And then they know who's warming up for them. And then if they like your style, like, you know, they'll go, we'll check him out in the future. That's another follower.
Yeah.
That's how you got to look at it. So don't just go there and expect, oh, yeah, I'm going to play all the best bangers. And then, you know, I'll be there. You won't, because you won't get booked again.
Would you rather have done production than DJing, or DJing than production?
I wish I'd started them at roughly the same time.
Okay.
But I think most of the things is, like, with how it's set nowadays, is most people start DJing before they start production. It's literally, like, there's very few DJs I know what started production before DJing, if that makes sense.
Mm-mm. What overseas bookings do you want to get after quarantine?
Well, I was looking at going to Ayanapa, this was in 2017.
Yeah.
Obviously, I had to cancel that due to, like, personal circumstances going on at home. Obviously, that was all ready to go as well. So I'd love to, like, retry and go back out there. Um, obviously every DJ's dream is set in Ibiza. That's one of the top ones. I heard Greece is quite good. It's all round.
Yeah, yeah.
So, or Marbella. There's literally endless amounts because like so much you hear, like, you know, about these places. You're like, I want to go there, and then you're like, no, I want to go there.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of options because.
But you're not limited. True.
But obviously, the overseas bookings are quite hard to get.
Definitely, I would say you've got to know the right people because nine times out of ten, if you know a good promoter what can get you out there, as soon as you've landed one, you're going to land multiple, you know? So this was another thing. When you're DJing and when you're like sort of pushing all this content out, engage with other DJs. It's like, obviously, when I first started seeing your lives, I was like, oh yeah, this is sick, man. Like, you know, get me on board. Like, I'd love to have an input because there's like so many different things I could say slightly a little bit different from other DJs, you know? So it's just been a long run.
Earlier we were talking about help. Do you think bigger DJs are more reluctant to help in or less?
It all depends on time. You could go to a big DJ, could have all the time in the world for you. And then, you know, he'll give you tips and advice. And then you could go to someone who's not got much time, but he'll still, like, give you a quick comment or something like that. So there is 90% of DJs out there will help. But I'm not saying go message, like, all these, like, UK, like, top 40 artists because you probably won't get a response at all.
Yeah.
Unless if you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody sort of thing. I've recently just, like, inquired about loads and loads of dubplates. And, like, these are dubplates from, like, Stylo G, General Levy, what was the other one I went for? Kevin Little.
Yeah.
I had one off Gracious K. An artist called K-More. I had one off Millie Major. So I've got a fair few dubplates, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just by networking. Like, obviously, if anyone don't know, a dubplate is basically where somebody was reading the song and then add my tag in into the song. But yeah, with engaging with one, I've engaged with another. Yeah. So it's gone from like getting a dub off Ironic to getting a dub off like Gracious K, then to like moving up to like the bigger artists.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I recently just was speaking last month to an artist called Dawn Penn, if you know her.
No, I
haven't. Old school reggae artist.
Oh, okay.
She made a song called No, No, No. You, honestly, check it out. As soon as you hear it, it's one of them.
I might know, but I might just not know the artist.
It's really, really, really old, but obviously. I listen to a lot of Jaguar Skills because he's a DJ I honestly look up to because his work rate is absolutely sick.
Mm.
And obviously, I heard the dub that he got. I was like, I want that. Like, I want my name in that. So yeah, I contacted her and I'm like, I waited for about a month, I think it was. And she just randomly rang my phone because I left my number. I was like, hello. Like, it's Dawn Penn. Like, do you still want a dub? I'm like, well, yeah, let's get working, you know. And then
literally, it's just trial and error and like best. It's just luck as well in this game. It's a lot of luck.
If you stay friendly, obviously just have manners and, you know, be polite, people will give you the time of day. I've learned this all round. Like, I've trained multiple DJs up now and I haven't said to them, I haven't charged them a penny. Like, you know, I could have been like with an agency, so much like, right, this is so-and-so this much an hour, you know. But I'm willing to help out as and where I can. Yeah. Because, like you say, it's a hard game to get into. Like, I'm not going to start giving sets to people saying, all right, you've just started out, but I'll get you a set here. Because I know DJs out there what have worked, like, many years really hard trying to get sets, but they're struggling. Mm. So I'd have to go to them and say, like, right, I've seen you've been putting in the work rate, so I'll get you a set, like, you know.
On the back of that as well, would you want to take DJs under your wing and give them out to different venues? So, like, a little agency kind of thing.
I'm too busy for all that, to be honest with you. I'm trying to get my own name out there, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, even in the future, though, even if you have made your name out, would you want to do that or still not? It's not for you.
hypothetically speaking, let's just say I got bigger than what I was now.
Yeah.
And I start to get a bigger name for myself, like, you know, and I'm resorting like thousands and thousands of followers. Then I'll start taking on like groups. Let's say groups are like 10 throughout the year. Once I've got some time, and then just sort of like do even a video, like an hour long with them, or like a month or something like that. That hour in that month may not seem a lot, but where else are they going to get that hour guaranteed?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's,
do you prefer the quick sets or the longer residency sets with which you've done for like what, 6 hours is it, or 5 hours, something like that?
Well, I used to play Nottingham a lot because that's where I'm from.
Yeah,
I used to play at loads of different bars and clubs and stuff. And these were like just one-offs and stuff. And then I moved to residency, and I found six-hour sets is hard. Because we have this rule in the club where I actually quite like, because it just stops the normality of things. Like, yeah, we have one rule of per playing one song a night. So if you played that song in them 6 hours, you can't play it again.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if it's the biggest banger. And for me, that in my early years, that taught me a lot, because it just shows you like not to sort of lay all the bangers together. Because you can go to a venue and lay out, say, for example, you've got a six-hour set like I have. Any DJ can go there and lay out every single banger in an hour. But after that first hour, what are you going to play to keep people on the dance floor?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's just basic crowd control.
You know what? Like, residencies, when you're starting up, it's a good thing, because it enhances your DJ knowledge and skills as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like Michelle was saying about 6 hours as well.
Yeah.
I learned tracks I never even knew about, like, you know, and the more you progress, the more you find newer things. And you're like, yeah, okay, I'll throw this to myself. This works, you know. My average mix time is 90 seconds a track. It's literally intro, verse, one chorus, out.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, looking like, why is he changing so quick? You play a song full 3 minutes long in 6 hours, people are just going to start to get bored, because, like, it's 3 minutes. It may not seem a long time when you sat here, like, but when you're in a club...
It's a long time when you're in a club, when you're trying to dance as well. You ain't dancing for 3 minutes straight to one song.
I think on a night, I think I'd get bored after the first 45. I'd be like, yeah, I know what the song is and I'm going to get a drink or something, you know. But unless it's an absolute banger, because, like, me personally, I like a lot of 90s R&B.
Yeah.
Like old school stuff. But I couldn't play that main set. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it takes
people's knowledge of music, you know.
I think it's a big thing, residencies, but I've had one and literally the club just closed. Like, you get those kind of things where the bad luck, bad, like, literally I had no warning Friday night.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night I get told, oh, we're closing the club.
You've got to be prepared for the worst all the time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Literally, we've been three floors in our place. There's been times where if you're on the top or the basement, like the floors, if it's quiet on your floor, your floor's getting shut down. It's getting locked off.
Yeah,
you're
going
home. So literally, it's like a free for all. Even though all of us DJs get along, it is literally like a free for all. You've got to grab as many customers on your dance floor as possible.
How'd you find reality TV stars going into DJ?
Yeah, like, I've always said, to be a DJ, you've got to at least understand music or have a passion for it.
Yeah.
I've seen most reality TV stars going into DJ, and I'm like, hang on a minute, that's just come out of nowhere. I've seen a few where they've obviously sort of had pre-recorded sets played for them. Like, I think it was like Love Island, whatever it's called. I don't watch it, but yeah.
Yeah, Love Island, yeah.
You'll see them on these guest sets, right? And there'll be people recording them, and there'll be a transition on the track. Nobody will notice, like, absolutely nobody, apart from a DJ, and you'll see, like, hang on a minute, it's not transition, nothing there. This is pre-recorded. Like, come on, guys. Like, if you're going to do it, just take the risk, man. Like, just actually give it a go. Like, no one's going to hate you for it after the set, because you're already big, because you're on, you're on TV. Everyone loves you already, you know?
Yeah, legit, yeah.
Makes like, no change.
I think also it's about knowing your equipment as well. If you don't know your equipment, that's another thing.
If a DJ can't turn up to a club and set up a standard CDJ system, I don't think you should DJ there. But saying that, I do know DJs what can't set one up, but they can DJ, weirdly enough.
I mean, it is a big thing, you know, jumping from a controller to a CDJ, because there's a lot to know about it. But I don't have a problem with DJs turning up with their controller instead, but it's when you turn up to the CDJ and you don't even know how to set up the CDJ.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's like a bricklayer to turn up to work with. It still was like, yeah, I can get the job done, but I haven't got the right tools for it. Like,
I don't know how you lay bricks.
Yeah.
Has radio been an option for you, or have you wanted to stick to like the clubbing festival route?
I've been on radio in Leicester. It's good, but only if you're hitting all these big radio stations, like sort of like One Extra, Capital. But the thing is with Capital, I've noticed a lot, I don't know if you have as well, when they play producers' remixes, they will not state whose remix it is. They'll say, oh yeah, Summit remix. And it's just like, hang on a minute, you've just like got this guy's remix to play on the radio, but you're not even announcing like whose remix it is. I think it's mainly at the weekend. Yeah, if you listen, it's only Capital what do it. I think it's at the weekend
just,
on
just
there.
Just Capital, not Capital Extra.
Yeah, I think it's Capital. I'm not sure, because I'll be in the car and I'll be like listening to it often on the way back from work. Still playing.
See, I don't listen to Capital. I listen to Extra, that's it. I don't really listen to radio, to be honest.
Well, once I'm out the club, I don't care. So as long as someone's playing, you know, like, yeah. My ears are still ringing when I've come out. I'm like, if it goes to dead silence, it makes my ears like, I'm like, oh, no.
Why,
no.
Do you have the booth monitor up?
Yeah, not even that, it's just how loud it is. We literally stood on top of a bass bin. But no, obviously, I like to have my, it's a weird one, this is, I like to have my headphone on my right.
Yeah.
So my booth monitor is on the left. So the problem I have, I've got constant, like, you know, mixed up in my ears. I've always had my headphone on my right. And this booth speaker, I can't even compare the size to it. It's like fairly big.
Yeah, yeah.
And just blaring out in your ear. Even if you turn it down, it's still quite loud in the club.
It's weird. You have some booth monitors, like, that are massive, and they're like a club speaker.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mad, because the way you turn them up, you can't turn them, like some clubs you can't turn them down on the DJM anymore.
Okay.
And some clubs you can. It's like, yeah. This is why you've got to know your configuration in a club. Because we've had the booth monitor like just blow out on us many times.
Yeah.
It's just gone pop. And if you put a DJ in there what don't know the setup, it's going to be like, what's just happened? Or imagine, say for example, because it's happened to me various times. I used to be a record box DJ.
Yeah.
Where the software would crash mid-set, like everything off. I'm just like, oh, okay. And literally, I've never moved so fast in my life just to get everything like unplugged and plugged back in.
Yeah.
Now, if you put a DJ, like you were saying earlier, who doesn't know how to set up in the booth, and then that happens, you can't just ring up the mate and say, yeah, I'm like, you know, how do I set it back up?
Yeah, you can't look at the manager and be like, can you set up the thing back again?
But it's not even the manager's job to know how to set up, you know. You're the DJ, like, you know. They've employed you to know your stuff. If you don't know a simple setup...
They've just bought the equipment because they know it's good. That's it.
Yeah. But believe it or not, our manager is actually quite good with our equipment. Right. I think he took the time out to sort of learn everything. I think most up-and-coming DJs should do anyway.
Learn the
equipment, and then if anything ever fails, you know what to like do straight away.
Rather than just, you said you use record box. Why did you change?
Well, I used to be, like I say, a really high performance. You know the XP1, the like, hot cue pads?
Yeah, yeah.
I used to do live tone plays on the fly. And then record box had a massive like bug issue or something like that, and it just kept him crashing mid-set. I'm talking 2-3 times a night, and I'm like, well, I've gone back, tried to sort it out, and it's having none of it. And then it all of a sudden work before my set again on like a Friday night, and I'm like, yeah, banging, like it's fixed now.
Mm.
Friday night came, cut out like three times again. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna need a new DJ software. So I was like, Serato is like a pretty good move.
Yeah, yeah.
The worst thing about that was transferring over like 40,000 different tracks with hot cues, because there's this thing where you could transfer your hot cues through Rekordbox to Serato. But I didn't know about this at the time, so I'm sat there like at home on the mic, like doing all these individual hot cues with like 40,000 tracks.
I swear it should just normally just preset it. Once you preset it, I swear it just stays on the track.
I don't know. This was a problem with Rekordbox. It kept on deleting like all the hot cues as well.
Oh, okay.
And still to this day, Rekordbox, I've been told, is still having like massive issues. So, you know, I think they're just trying to push quality out more than quantity, like, you know. Quality over quantity, sorry.
So, to kind of wrap everything up, where do you kind of see your production taking off? Where do you want to take it?
Well, I keep going back to the remix I'm working at the minute, and I'm like, I don't want to drop it because I want to make my own sort of track to make it blow from there. Because if you make a remix, everyone hears remixes day in, day out. Like, they'll be on YouTube searching for a certain remix. It would just be one of them typical, oh yeah, it's a remix. It'll be played for a bit, and then 6 months down the line, the track's gone. So hopefully, if I do manage to come up with something better before, say, Christmas, and get everything in the pipeline for a release next summer, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. Next up, you know what? It'll be interesting to see, because I asked this to Nathan Doerr as well. I said, like, how do you know when to drop a track? Especially in this time, like, do you know when to drop now or to do it after quarantine because people will be more active? Or
I think with Nathan is, like, obviously he wasn't expecting everything. Well, nobody was really expecting this to happen. And I think he already had it planned out how he wanted to drop it. So, like, you know, when he dropped Flowers, you know, it's going to be a big summer anthem. Like, but then he had a downpour of, like, all these big artists, like, dropping music, like last week or the week before, I think it was. And I seen his Instagram post, like all these big artists just dropping all these tracks. And like, I was sitting like 12th in the iTunes, like top 40. And I was like, oh, I feel for you, mate. Like, you know. But if we weren't like all like lockdown, you'd have got them plays in the clubs, which, you know, people who have never heard the track before, you'd have gone up even further and you'd been winning. You'd have been winning. But no, as a whole, he's sort of like, yeah, I reckon there is a sort of pattern you've got to release tracks in.
Yeah.
I reckon if I did a remix, say it took me a month to do, and I go, right, the day after I've just finished it, I go, right, I'm going to drop it now. That it's a bad mistake because there's no promo there. I can't comment too much on production side because I'm not full on producer like that. I'm just getting into it myself. But what I've seen and heard, it's about as much promotion, if not more, than a DJ.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, man, I heard the dancehall you were playing last night.
Yeah. You know what?
Do you know?
Yeah, carry on, sorry.
Do you know what the funniest thing was there? Do you know just before I clicked on your live stream, yeah?
Yeah.
I just finished like downloading tracks off BPM Supreme, and there was every.
Sorry, what did you say, bro?
I said every single one of the tracks I was downloading last night before I clicked on your stream was like dancehall and reggae. And I was just like, great minds think alike here, like, you know. Trust me, man. I'm waiting for some.
You know what, BPM is one of like the best record pools I've used because I stopped using DJ City.
They're all 6 months ahead. Like, oh yeah, we'll delete five.
It's because BPM's American, so they've got all the American stuff before I feel like City does. But City has more UK stuff.
There you go. So for everyone know, like a UK versus American USA mix, you know what to use DJ City for UK and so on. But now, literally, man, I'm waiting for some artwork to drop today in my email. I think it just dropped. That's why I think it lagged. So I don't need it. Get this dancehall artwork, and then hopefully I'm not going to put a date on it because I've seen the pressure you dropped on it. Alfie word it. I'm not going to set dates for mixers, man. Nah.
He didn't even drop it. He didn't even drop it. I told him we should drop it. He didn't drop it.
He was debating it, though. I've seen his face. He's like,
yeah, he was debating it, but now he's probably going to drop it soon, hopefully. But
he was like, I'm live. And then as soon as he came off live, he was like,
Application was... I didn't find the application long, to be honest. I just put the card details in, that was it.
But no,
the intros I prefer in City than BPM Supreme. I don't know if you find that, but I find that
City. BPM Supreme was quick, like, it was real quick, man. Like, DJ City, like, I think I had to go through two submission forms or something daft like that.
I don't like how you have to put £60 up front for City. That's what I don't like about it.
It's silly, man.
Because like if I really want, like, if I really need, let's say if I really needed that £60 in that month and I just spent it all on DJC, I know it's over 3 months, but still I'd like to pay £20 each month instead of £60 up front.
Yeah, you could sign up to the mashup and like get BPM Supreme for still like less than what the price of DJC is.
BPM's like £10 a month or something like that. The smaller, not the premium version.
The standard.
Standard. I think it's like £12 a month or something like that.
The layout's a lot better as well, man. Because when you go on there, it gives you an option to download like the intro, the dirty intro, the clean intro, instrumental, acapella straight away. Mm-hmm. Whereas DJ City, you got to click on the file.
You have to click on it, then ratings.
Leave a like star review in that. Yeah. It's wrong, man. Why? I get that leaving feedback is good. I won't stress enough, leaving feedback for people is good.
But it's long.
These artists, man, are already up there. Like, what more feedback do they need? Like, they're up there.
Trust
like,
me.
People are paying for this stuff now, man. Like, you know, and they're just, like, being long about it. But,
bro, you know, appreciate this, man. Like, it's been a good chat.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Like, sorry to cut it short. I've got to take a little drink and then got another one. Last one of the day. But, yeah, bro, it's been a great one. And, like, yeah, hopefully we can link up after this.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm down.
Yeah, bro. Take care, man.
You too, man. See you soon.
See you. Bye.